We are continuing our series in the book of Mark, and I get to share the scripture we're going to be looking at this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles, we are in Mark 10, beginning with 46. It will also be up on the screen for you as well. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So God, we are thankful for your word this morning. We are thankful for the ways that it can encourage and strengthen and teach us. And we are here to be taught this morning, God. So would you open our eyes? Would you open our minds? Would you open our hearts? Would your word come alive to us this morning? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Codis, would you be willing to go, I think we have the wrong version. Could you get the NIV out there? That would be awesome. Thank you. Hi, everybody. So kind of feel the quiet. Maybe that's good. I always feel like sermons are a good time to sleep. So it's a good time to rest. And so I think one or two things will happen in this next moment. Like moments you'll get something out of this, or you'll get good rest. And so either way, I feel like it could be a win. We are in the last section of how we're breaking up Mark. So we're going through the whole gospel of Mark over the year, but we've kind of set it into little frames, so to speak. Marked by good news is how we started. There were stories, and it was a lot about the good news that Jesus is bringing, and then it was marked by compassionate conflict. Jesus was getting in fights with people, and the fights were Jesus was doing things out of compassion, and other people were doing things out of the opposite of compassion, and so there's fights. We were marked by parables and power, where Jesus was telling stories, but we also saw Jesus doing incredible power works, and now we're marked by seeing more clearly. That's what a lot of these stories have been. And if you are in our English Bibles and you read Mark, you get the chapters. Sometimes you get headings. Some Bibles have Jesus' words in red. The original Mark that people would have had would not have had any of those things. The original, and it wouldn't have mattered if they did, because they're most of them aren't reading this. They don't read, they're hearing it. And so if you want to highlight, you don't bold it, you don't italicize, you don't have headings. The way that they highlighted things back then is the way they repeated words. The way they had sections back then is the way they arranged stories. And so we are ending this little series, this little section, because what comes next in the Bible is Jesus starting his last week before he goes to the cross, as he goes to the cross, as he's resurrected. That's what the rest of Mark is. But it's not just that for that reason that this is set apart. The way that Mark, the author, put this together is that here we are with a story of a blind man, that Aubrey just read, and we go from a story of a blind man. We also, 2 months ago when we started this, it was a story of a different blind man. And there is something about he framed this section with a story of a blind man, because Jesus healed lots of blind people, but the particular story of a blind man, and then another particular story of a blind man, Bartimaeus. And so there's something about that we pay attention to with everything that comes between it. And so the story from a couple months ago that we looked at is some people brought to Jesus a blind person. And this blind person, Jesus took him. They were in Bethsaida. That is some of his disciples' hometown. That was one of his Jesus' operating centers where he ministered out of in Galilee. But he took him out of town, and then he spit in his eyes, and he asked him, you know, can you see? And the guy's like, I could see people. They look kind of like trees. So he's like, kind of see. I could see a little bit. And then Jesus put his hand on him, prayed for him, healed him, and then he could see clearly. Now, the very next thing in the book of Mark is that Jesus takes his disciples, they're in Bethsaida, and he goes way out, miles away, to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, who do people say that I am? And he says, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the other prophets. And so they could kind of see who Jesus was. They could see that he's like uniquely from God, like a powerful person from God. So they could see a little bit. And then Jesus says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. That's it. He sees it clearly. Those two stories are put next to each other for a reason. So the pattern is they can't see. Some can't see. People can't see. Then they could see a little bit. And then they could see clearly. And what happens from that first story of the blind man to this story of Bartimaeus is we have to think about these three categories. There are like Pharisees, religious leaders, they cannot see. And then there is people who can kind of see. And then there's people who could see clearly. And what we would think is that the people that Jesus called to him and that who followed him, that you would think they're the ones who see it most clearly. They got it now. They're around him all the time. They're hearing the stories. They're seeing the miracles. But what I would say today, that this story, the person that actually sees best is Bartimaeus. The model we're actually supposed to follow most is Bartimaeus. He is one who desperately wants to see clearly because he can't see anything. So it's pretty obvious that he desperately wants to see clearly. But actually, he before he even has his eyes healed physically, he already, in some ways, is demonstrating a spirit that sees things more clearly than anybody around him. And what I want us to keep thinking about today is like, how bad do you want to see clearly? And most of us, I think, often feel like we see pretty clear. But what if we don't see very clearly? So again, before we get to this little story on Bartimaeus, let's look at the stories that led up to it in between this healing of the blind man and then get to Bartimaeus. So here's what happened right after Jesus Peter had said, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, had that clear. Jesus says, he's going to start predicting his death, the Son of Man, that's him, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected. I am going to die, and then I'm going to rise again. And the response of the disciples is like to this prediction is like, well, no. And Jesus says, it's because you have the concerns of, you have human concerns. You are thinking about human things. You are not thinking about the concerns of God. And so Peter is the one who says, like, no. It says Peter rebukes Jesus. That's crazy. He rebukes Jesus. And then Jesus rebukes Peter. I think I know who will win that. And Jesus says, now, what happens is Peter is communicating what is in the atmosphere of, and in the thinking of all the disciples. And in the thinking of all the disciples is, like, no, we're not here to suffer. We're here because you get us out of suffering. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross and follow me. So that's what happens. The first time Jesus predicts this, Peter is the one who speaks, and it speaks something that's already in the atmosphere of the disciples. Then he takes Peter, James, and John. These are the three guys that he took with him and nobody else when he raised a girl from the dead. These are the three guys he takes up on the mountain. They must be the ones who see most clearly. And he takes them up, and then they come down. Disciples can't cast out demons. They get to another point where Jesus again says, hey, I am going to be delivered over to people, and I am going to be killed. and then I'm going to rise again. And the next thing that you see from the disciples, who are the ones who are supposed to be seeing clearly, is they're fighting over who's the greatest. Jesus says, I'm going to die, and they're fighting over who is the greatest. And who speaks after that? John. Okay, so Peter spoke. He's one of the ones who went up the mountain, and he had it wrong. John speaks. John says, hey, we saw somebody casting out a demon in your name, and I stopped them. We stopped them. And Jesus is like, whoever isn't against us is for us. He said, you shouldn't be stopping him. You should be encouraging him. He says, this is what it looks like. You guys are arguing who's the importantest. Whoever welcomes one of the least of these, one of these children, one of these people who are outsiders, the people that people are ignoring, whoever welcomes them welcomes me. But they didn't see that clearly. And so we get some more stories going along. We see that the disciples really picked up on that because the next time kids show up, they're sending the kids away after Jesus had just said, whoever welcomes a child. Now, these people left everything to follow Jesus. It's not like they don't see at all. But clearly, they don't see clearly, right? We get to what Pastor Samuel spoke on last Sunday. Jesus again. You know, the Son of Man, he's going to be delivered over to people. They're going to spit on him, flog him. He's going to die, and then he's going to raise again. That's what's going to happen to me. What happens next? Two people come up and clearly show what a lot of them are thinking about. Where's my status in this? Where do I fit in everything? Where do I rank? And so it's James and John. James is the older one. James is probably the spokesman. James is the one who stated first, who says, hey, can you do something for us? Can we sit on your right and your left? Looking for the status. And Jesus, you're missing the point. You're not seeing clearly, I am here to give my life as a ransom. If you want to be great, you got to serve. You got to be a slave. You got to go low. This is what it looks like to live life with me. So if the people that left everything, followed him, were around him all the time, 24/7, heard his teaching, watched him, if it took them a while to see clearly, maybe that would be true for me. Maybe I can be like, well, if I'm doing my part, then I should expect everything's going to go easy peasy for me. That's how it should work. That I should really be most focused on not important people, famous people, but on people who seem like on their outside. That I should be lowering myself, not worried about my status, my likes, my friends, but that's not how I see things a lot of times. Maybe most of the time. And now at this point, we get to this story about Bartimaeus. So we'll go through it with this idea that, like, it would be better if we saw things the way Jesus sees them. Like, that would be better. And I am aware that I don't, but I want to. I want to really bad. I'm 50 years old. I've been trying to follow Jesus for a long time. And I still realize I can't see. And it affects how I live, and it affects the people around me. So what does Bartimaeus teach me? Then they came to Jericho. This is verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Okay, so he's sitting by the roadside begging. The roadside might be important later on, that he's sitting there. But the idea of begging, again, they don't bold things, they don't italicize things, but what we have seen in Mark over and over again is that people who come to Jesus begging, people who come to Jesus and fall at his feet, he responds. There is grace, there is power, there is love for desperate people who come begging. Next verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me. I am a firstborn principal son of a Christian school. I mean, I know, don't make a scene, stay in line, follow the rules." And so what happens to some of us firstborns who are raised like that, who have something internal in us, is that when someone, like when we know we're supposed to be quiet and someone starts talking, it's like, I mean, it's just bothersome. Like, you can't possibly, you know, we get, okay, these are the instructions for the drill and everybody, and that, well, you just skipped in line. That's not how it's supposed to work. Like, it's very problematic. I am quite certain that I would be one of the many who was like, Jesus, he is just, have mercy on me. What does he have to lose? He has nothing. He can't see. This is his chance. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He's who we're supposed to follow. This guy who can't see, probably doesn't have religious training, he's the only one in the book of Mark who refers to Jesus as the Son of David, which means the Messiah, which means the one like no other one, the one we've been waiting for, the one. And he's the one who sees that. And he's the one who says it. He's also the only one in the book of Mark who calls Jesus, who we hear him say, Jesus. We never hear any of the other disciples say, Jesus. So he both says, you are the greatest of all time. You are the one worthy of all my allegiance, all my devotion. You're the one who can do something that no one else can do. And you're Jesus. You're a person. I can have a relationship with you. He sees both things are true, and he sees that clearly. And so he is desperate, and he's not worried about what anybody else thinks. He is just not worried about that. He just wants to see. He just wants to see. And he sees Jesus as the one who can make it happen. Next verse. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. I feel like, I mean, I don't know the scene. Maybe he did need someone else to go get him. But I feel like Jesus could have said, hey, come on over. You can come over. But he tells the people who just been saying, shh, stop it, quiet, you blind man, shush. Hey, can you go get him? Oh, Jesus, do you want him? Yeah, go, oh, yeah, we're with you. Yeah, we'll get him. Jesus wants us often, instead of being the people who become obstacles for people coming to Jesus, to be the ones who help call people to Jesus. Verse 50. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. When I've read this story in the past, typically it's sort of like, what? Okay, there's some things we can get out of here, but it just feels like kind of a little obscure story stuck in here. Like Jesus did a lot of healing. But since we're going through the entire book of Mark, I am paying attention that this story is actually commenting on other stories. This story is meant to be seen, how does it contrast to other things? And so just a few weeks ago, Judd spoke on the rich man who came to Jesus. This is a man who is a ruler and who is wealthy. Now, if people have power and they have money, we put them up here. We pay attention to them. We talk about them. We want to be like that. this guy wasn't just that. He also clearly was a good guy. He was a good guy. He had been following God. He believed in God. I mean, we really, Christian celebrities, for those of us who are Christians, we can really put up there. There they are. That's who we're looking for. Blind guys, beggars, not in sight. Important people, wealthy people, famous people, that's who I'm looking at. That's who I'm looking at. That's who I'm thinking about. That's who I'm secretly wanting to be more like. But let's look at how Jesus interacted with these two people. Verse 21, Jesus looked at this wealthy man and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And so Jesus is inviting someone to come follow him, but the guy's money is in the way. When Jesus was doing the Sermon on the Mount, giving his message, he got to a point where he talked about, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because that's all going to rust out, and it's going to fade away. You aren't going to keep that. You don't take that with you. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And a little bit later, just a few sentences later, he says, you can't serve both God and money. And in between there, he says, if your eyes are healthy, then the whole body is healthy. And if your eyes are unhealthy, then your whole body is unhealthy. And there is something about eyes symbolize greed, symbolize if you're looking at money right, then life, you'll be looking at life right. If you aren't looking at money right, you aren't going to look at life right. And that's what we see with this story. Jesus encourages extravagant generosity from this man and removing things. The more we have to lose, the harder it is to follow Jesus. Now let's go back to verse 50, Bartimaeus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you think this man owned? A cloak. Where did he keep his money? In the cloak. Put out a cloak, that's where they put the money. That's all he's got, the cloak. What did he do with the cloak before Jesus healed him? Whew. Nothing getting away between him and Jesus. Jesus can have it all. He's just going to Jesus. And since I don't see clearly, I pay attention to people who seem impressive, regardless of what's in here. And I put a lot of energy into looking impressive instead of what's going on in here. But if I can see more clearly, and I think over the years, at least to some extent I have, I care more and more about what's in here. And the people I'm closest to care more and more about what's in here. And people in this church, I think, care more and more and more about what's in here. So I need to see clearly, because I, over and over again, I get tricked into thinking what the world says is what it's all about is what it's all about, instead of Jesus. But Bartimaeus, he didn't get tricked. He didn't get weighed down by stuff. Where's Jesus? Now, one more comparison. I think it's verse 35. Then James and John, I've already talked about this, but now we're going to read it. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus still asks. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. What do you want me to do for you? Say, we want to be important. We want to be in good positions. We want to be seen. We want to be seen. We want to be seen well. We care what other people think of us. We care about that. Verse 51, Jesus asking Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." Do we want to be seen? Do we care about what everybody else thinks? Or do we want to see? Do we want to see people everyone else overlooks? Do we want to see ourselves more clearly like God sees us? Instead of putting ourselves down all the time. Do we want to see? Jesus, help me to see the way you see me. Help me to see them the way you see them. Help me to see life the way you see life. Help me to see the struggles that are in front of me the way you see them. Help me to see. I think we're desperate for that. I really do. I think we need it. I don't think we graduate from, "Lord, have mercy on me." I don't think we get to a certain spot where it's like, "Well, now that I'm this good of a Christian, now I got it. Now I just need a little help from Jesus." I think tomorrow I'm going to be like, "Have mercy on me." I think the next day I'm going to be like, "I need you." I think the day after that I'm going to be, "I need you." And if I was physically blind, that would be pretty obvious to me. But when I'm spiritually blind, I think I got it. They got it. They better get it. But no, I want to see. How badly do you want to see? Because he's the one who opens blind eyes, so he does it. Verse 52, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He followed Jesus along the road. He had been sitting, begging at the roadside, but now he up and walking, following on the road. That word road is the same word as way. Like when Jesus is talking about, you know, he's going to take them to be with him, that we don't know where you're going. We don't know what's going on. We're kind of lost. How would we know? And Jesus' response, John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way is the same, exact same word as the road that I just read from Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus got up and he followed Jesus on the way. Where was Jesus going? Huh? I'm going with him. What's going to happen in a few weeks from life? I don't know, but I'm going with him. What's going to happen in our country's economy? I don't know, but I'm going with him. What's going on in my family right now? I don't know, but I'm going with him. And when you see clearly, this guy sees clearly. He could get up and go anywhere. And he says, "I'm going with Jesus." Who are you going with? Who's your life all about? I don't think we have a clue what's coming in a couple years. But he does. And he can get us there. I really don't think we have a clue of how we figure out what do we do after we die. But he does. He'll get us there. But the question is, are we willing to throw off everything and just say, "I'm with him. Anything that gets in the way, I'm with him. I'm going with him." And we need him to help us see so we can go with him. Judd said something a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to say it right the way he said it. But when he was talking about the rich and ruler, he made a comment, something to the effect of, we can tend to think about what we have to give up to follow Jesus. Man, we got to give things up to follow Jesus. Man, that's not, instead of what we get from Jesus. What do we get from following Jesus? Cheer up. Hey, cheer up. He's calling you, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who has defeated death, the one who does defeat sickness, the one who can be with you no matter what else, the one who does connect people that were enemies to become friends, that one, the one that can bring peace and joy in your heart. Cheer up. He's calling you, and he still is. He still is. I think that we're going to be desperate. We are going to be desperate every day, but it can be a joyful desperation, a hopeful desperation. So we got Jesus. He's real. He's alive. He lasts forever. He is the most impressive thing. And the most impressive man of all time doesn't say, look at me and how impressive I am. He says, look at the people who need me most. Come on, let's go find them. I mean, who is this guy? This guy, this God is the one who calls you today. So cheer up and go with him. Let's go with him out of this place. Let's pray. Let's pray. We want to see. We want to see. Jesus, we want to see. God, right now I pray for people who see themselves and they just see bad about themselves. We're always having bad self-talk come at themselves. God, help us to see you love, you delight in, you have created us a certain way. You are excited about who we're becoming and what you have in mind for us. I pray you would help us to see that. Help us to see it not just in our head, but in our hearts, in our very being, how much you love us and even like us and want to be with us. Help those of us who beat ourselves up, who hate ourselves. Would you help us to see your love? Would you help us to cheer up? Those of us struggling with depression in this room, would you help us to cheer up? Because you see us and you're calling us. Help us to see that more clearly. Whatever else you want to help us to see more clearly, maybe bring it to mind right now. Shift the way our brains work even to see more clearly. The way that anger or grief has blinded us, help us to see. Help us to see. What you want us to be doing in life, if we're not on the path with you, in what you want us to be doing, help us to see today. Help us to see. We want to see.